Many things you see online are not always what they appear to be. And some influencers you find on social media feeds, people who are paid to promote brands and products, aren't even real people. They're called CGI influencers, and it's a growing trend. Joining us now is Chris Dietert, who is the Chief Communications Officer for Influential. That's a firm that matches brands and ad agencies to these CGI influencers. Chris, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And first of all, just tell us, what is a CGI influencer?
So a CGI influencer is a computer-generated image that has been made into an influencer. As people have seen, influencers are people that have high follower counts on social media networks. And what this is basically an automated version of that, though it is powered by a human being that is creating, or several human beings that are creating the imagery and the content.
So an influencer before a CGI influencer would be someone like who?
Someone like Cameron Dallas, or someone like Logan Paul, Amanda Cerny. There's all of these, people that have 10 million plus followers. I mean, we classify an influencer as anybody who has over 50,000 followers, but we actually classify them three ways: micro influencers, macro influencers, and mega influencers. And that's basically broken up between like 50,000 to, somebody that has over, maybe a million followers is sort of that middle category. And then above that is the celebrity influencer, the mega influencer.
But those names that you mentioned are not names mm-hmm. that probably many of our listeners have heard of. How did they become influencers?
So they basically are born and bred on social. What's interesting is that they're not celebrities like household names,
right?
Though, many of the listeners' kids, I'm sure, would be like, oh, that is the modern celebrity. They would much rather spend an afternoon with Logan Paul than probably Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, so why then do we need a CGI influencer who is not a person but looks like a person? Why not just use a human?
There's definitely a very good argument for that. I would say the reason the CGI influencers are coming about is just because they can. It's another thing. It's another novelty. I'd say on the positive end of it, the fact that you actually have the ability to fully control something like this from a brand's perspective, if we're talking about, monetizing this, is actually advantageous because, you don't have to worry about any of the pitfalls of an influencer who might get a DUI, might get arrested, might use the wrong words at some point.
Does that happen a lot with human influencers?
Yeah, absolutely. And it has happened quite a bit. For us, luckily, everything that we do is data backed, and we have amazing social listening tools. So we're able to actually sift through the entire history of social. And if any influencer has said anything wrong, we really know about it. But a lot of people who don't have the technology, or a lot of companies that don't have the technology that we do, things fall through the cracks all the time, and they might use an influencer, and then, they get a huge blowback because they found out, that a few years ago that they might have used a racial epithet or, done something offensive.
And do you design the influencers by looking at what people are going to respond to in the best way? They want smaller ears, or, they want the eyes to be this color, or whatever it might be.
To my knowledge, there's one company called Brud that is the primary company that is doing this. I think they're one of the only companies in the world. There might be one or two others that are doing it. And from what I've seen, each one is markedly different. And it, can be everything from their race to their style. I think what these people are trying to do is create specific images that kind of can be verticalized with particular interests. So, you might find one that sort of has like a Southern California skateboarder style, or you might find another one that, is sort of a Latina hipster. Or, they all have these different varying images. In the long view, I think the idea is maybe that they're creating these avatars of sort so that they can be ideal tools for brands to be able to market with.
I know that one of the concerns about this is that often people can't tell that the CGI influencer is not human.
Yeah, it can cause some confusion. And there are some people that are pretty up in arms about that. You know, it's an ethical question of whether these avatars or whatever have to come out and say, I'm real or not. You know, in the case of little Michaela, who's probably the biggest and best known one, she actually did come out on her channel on Instagram and say that I am a robot. So I would imagine that there was enough, you know, negativity or blowback about that not being clear that, you know, her creators felt a necessity to put that out there.
But that's a human writing, I am not a robot.
Exactly.
Right.
Which is sort of ironic.
The human behind the robot. So how is this going to change advertising?
From a social advertising perspective, I think it's very interesting. I mean, I think it gives brands peace of mind and it gives a greater level of control. You know, there have been a lot of high fashion brands and makeup companies who are already jumping into the pool with this. And like I said before, I think it's a matter of knowing that you have a certain degree of safety here. You know, these are almost created, I feel. I mean, maybe the people who are actually doing it would say otherwise, but I feel like these are being created specifically for the intention of commerce. And if you curate this, you know, fake persona or whatever in such a way, you can make it exactly to a specific niche audience.
Do you think companies should be transparent that they're using a CGI influencer?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think that they would shy away from it necessarily. I feel like maybe it's more the people behind them, you know, the company that's behind them has not been out in the media very publicly. They kind of hang in the shadows, which in a way I think actually makes it more interesting. They seem hard to access. And I think that air of mystery is actually intriguing a lot of people and a lot of brands and making people want to, you know, find out more and be a part of it.
Do you expect there will be regulation around this from the Federal Communications Commission?
Absolutely. FTC compliance is always paramount anytime, you know, something is in the media as much as this is and you're seeing commerce going down. If there's not full transparency, and that's something that's, you know, very important for us at Influential, everything that we do, you know, has hashtag ad or hashtag partner on it. It's really critical to do that. And you can get away with it for a certain period of time, maybe. You know, if you get your hand caught in the cookie jar, it could be very, very expensive for you.
Now, your company is the middleman here. It connects brands to social media influencers. How'd you come up with that idea?
So my brother, actually, who's 5 years younger than me, he's our CEO, he came up with the idea. He actually, about 6 years ago, was an influencer himself, but not like in the traditional sense where, you know, he's famous for taking selfies or singing or dancing. He had created a bunch of niche accounts. So on Twitter, he had at travel, at automotive, at fashion and style, at USA. And the whole idea behind having these was akin to the dot-com boom, you know, having these valuable pages. And he was able to work with a bunch of brands like, you know, Marriott came to him for at travel and wanted to, you know, pay him a lot of money to start running campaigns on this. And through that process, he realized that, you know, really the whole social media landscape was completely the Wild West and that it needed to be tamed. And that if, you know, brands and ad agencies were going to open up their multi-million dollar coffers, there had to be accountability. There had to be brand safety. And so, you know, we basically set out about 5 years ago to create the systematic approach.
Are there a lot of other people doing what you're doing?
According to reports, there's probably about 250 influencer marketing companies. Mm-hmm. That said, I think that there, you could probably count on one hand, the number that are actually respectable and very good at what they do. It's a crowded marketplace, and at times it actually gets a bit of a bum rap because, you know, every PR company that knows two influencers has now fashioned themselves as an influencer marketing company.
And how do we know you're not a robot?
Well, maybe I am.
Maybe you are.
I don't think so, though.
That's Chris Dietert, who is Chief Communications Officer for Influential. That's an artificial intelligence social data technology firm that matches brands and ad agencies to influencers. Chris, thank you.
Thank you so much.